My portion of this, I'm Mary Younger. My portion of this is going to be pretty quickly because I want to really let these two residents who have done an outstanding job have plenty of time to discuss actually what we did at Tulane. So I'm going to give you a little bit of an approach of why this mattered. As Layla mentioned, I run the Diabetes and Metabolic Clinic at Tulane, which means I see kids with diabetes or at risk for developing type 2 diabetes or other complications from obesity. So I'm going to give you a little bit of perspective from where I come from in the clinic and what these guys have seen, probably another bit of their culture shock coming from the West Coast. The state of childhood obesity in Louisiana is pretty abysmal. So this is the actual latest data from the CDC on self-reported obesity among adults in 2013. Louisiana is not number one, actually. We were in a race for it for a while. We're number six. But that still means over a third of our adults self-report as overweight or obese. So you can imagine the actual numbers are probably a little bit higher than self-report. Mississippi and West Virginia are tied for first at 35%. What does this mean to Louisiana? This means that we are number six for adults with diabetes and number four for adults with hypertension. So not so good. Well, what does this mean about kids? I mean, I'm a pediatrician, adults, whatever. Well, this is one of my favorite quotes, and I tell it to parents of adolescents all the time. Children have never been very good at listening to their elders, but they never have never failed to imitate them. And I think this is very true. So for kids in Louisiana, children aged 2 to 19 combined over a third overweight or obese in the state. So not so far behind those adults after all. And only about one quarter of our children, school-aged children, meet the goal of 1 hour of moderate to vigorous activity a day, which in my mind is very distressing because kids are meant to be active. They're not meant to be confined to a school chair for 6 to 8 hours a day. And in 12 to 19-year-olds, junior high to high school, average only 19 minutes per day of moderate to vigorous activity. This means I get more moderate to vigorous activity walking around my clinic than our high school kids are. That's depressing. And about half of kids aged 6 to 11, so elementary age, exceed the recommended screen time of 2 hours per day, 2 hours or less. That's actually the recommendation started by the American Academy of Pediatrics. This does not count school screen time. This is anything with a screen, computers, video games, TV, all of that, 2 hours for fun or more a day. And over a third of high school students in New Orleans are Only a little over a third of high school students in New Orleans meet the guidelines for daily activity. Over half of those kids are athletes. So that means if you're not an athlete, the likelihood of you meeting guidelines for activity is pretty low. So what does this mean in my clinic? This means I see adult or pediatric kids with adult disease. I tell people all the time, and I really didn't like my internal medicine rotation, but I somehow end up practicing internal medicine in little people. We see type 2 diabetes. My youngest diagnosis of a new onset type 2 diabetic was 7 years old. I've had four in my clinic now who were diagnosed at 9. We don't even talk about junior high and high school kids. Hypertension, dyslipidemia, fatty liver disease, joint and other musculoskeletal problems. I actually just had an 18-year-old in my clinic the other day who's already had her first knee replacement. Sleep apnea. And over 70% of obese youth have at least one cardiovascular risk factor. Other consequences, worsening of asthma, this is probably the one that's the most well-studied. Pulmonologists now and allergists are very well aware that obese patients with asthma, their asthma does worse, and they gain weight more rapidly because they're not active because their asthma's worse, and it's this vicious cycle. Low self-esteem, decreased quality of life, bullying and depression. I can't tell you the number of breakdowns I've had in clinic of kids crying and telling you know, how bad life is. But talking about, you know, physical health, this actually came out from the Bogalusa Heart Study, not far from here. But even before the obesity epidemic had even peaked, we were seeing in children and young adults, and I love that young adults goes up to 40 in this. But these were people who all died. These were from autopsies of children and young adults who all died for non-cardiac related issues, usually either violence or car accidents. And this is macroscopic plaques in their aortas and coronary arteries, and the percentage of them that have that. And this was at the start of the obesity epidemic. I don't even want to know the data now. It'd probably be depressing. So anyway, that's where I come from, and that's what I worry about, and that's why I thought this was when these two guys came up to me and said, hey, Dr. Younger, we really want to do this. I was like, okay, let's do it. So I'm going to let them tell you.
Hello, I'm Matt Calzette. I'm one of the Tulane residents here. I am doing internal medicine and pediatrics. I have no disclosures at all. Maybe one day. I'm going to cover the first thing on becoming a nature champion, while Jim here is going to do the what Nigel had already discussed with you guys. I think the mini bio probably summed it all up. From the West Coast and from California, I grew up amongst parks my whole life, and I just always loved being outdoors. And so coming here, not really having anything but swamps and not really knowing how to get into the swamp, or even if you could, it was kind of a change for me. I jumped on the email that we had gotten just from the program about becoming a nature champion. It seemed like it was in line with what I thought should happen, and it was great to see that my feelings were confirmed by some evidence that getting people out in the nature was going to help. So much frustration comes from suggesting lifestyle changes to patients and never seeing anything happen from that, that it felt great that there might be something structured I could do to try to get people to go outside. And I thought teaming up with someone like the National Park Service gave us a great resource to connect to the available parks in the area. So the Nature Champion training was a morning. It must have been about 6 hours. Very simple. Here in the French Quarter, we were shown how to basically what the benefits were, and then kind of what our role would be once we were nature champions. One of those was to bring others into the fold, meaning my other residents, and also attendings. So Jim and I both did that by giving presentations. I gave them to the residents while he gave them to the interns. And it was met with great interest. Everyone thought it was a great idea. Everyone accepted folders and prescriptions and seemed like we were going to be able to go out and get some kids out in the nature. We kind of just kind of break it up for you a little bit how it works for residency. And it's different in every program. And we're certainly a little bit different within our own program because we also do internal medicine. We have our own clinic that's just for med-peds is what we call ourselves. And so we set up that clinic to look like we had posters up saying what we have going on with nature, the benefits of nature. All these things were provided by the NEEF. However, that's what we had. We give this to the other pediatric and just pediatric residents. We don't go to their clinics. And we had hoped, I don't know if they have, but I would hope they would have done the same thing. So I'll get into that a little bit more in a second. It was met with great interest, especially amongst the MedPeds folks. And in the future, in about 2 months, Jim and I are going to give some grand rounds on this topic and kind of talk more about what we had done and try to get that's a wider audience, and that's a lot of the attending physicians. The challenge that we have found being nature champions is the nature of what our training is, which is incredibly busy. Incredibly focused on inpatient medicine. So this endeavor it's much more tailored towards being a clinician, being in the clinic, having a continuity of relationship with your patients, and seeing the effect over time of this intervention. Inherently difficult to do if you're a resident, especially MedPeds folks. So that's one challenge. The nature of our difficult to know exactly how much prescriptions were being used by the categorical pediatric folks, tracking what happened with those prescriptions. We still haven't like, quite figured out how to do that. We have to somehow work on a little bit better how we're going to clue in clinicians how to prescribe certain activities that the National Park Service has. And I showed you the prescription pad. You can check off things. It's always changing, and it felt like after a little while that may have gotten a little bit outdated. Some of the events had passed already. However, there was always a section on that was recurring events every week. Somehow if we can get that to be a little more ingrained in our clinicians' minds, it would be for the better. So that's all I have to say for now. The Jim is going to come up and talk to you guys about the pilot project that we attempted to do.
Hi, I'm Jim Steer. I'm the other half of Jim and Matt. People often get us confused, which is why I'm wearing a tie and a coat today. I was asked to talk about this, a little bit more about this project that Nigel began talking about, our Ticket to Ride grant project. First of all, I have nothing to disclose. Second of all, we owe a lot of thanks to Nigel and the National Park Service, the National Park Foundation for providing the grant to support this project, and Layla and Neef and what they did to bring us into the fold as nature champions. I went on a couple of these trips, and we were able to recruit some of our other residents and on one occasion some medical students to go with us as kind of chaperones and educators on these trips. And I would say that they were all incredibly fun and educational. And so I hope that this project continues to grow and the service continues to be provided to other kids in our region. So first, the objectives of this project was first to identify kids who would benefit from our clinic specifically. There's often a good interface between parks and schools, but never so much between parks and clinical settings where kids may be more at risk of obesity and the metabolic syndrome type disorders that are related to sedentary lifestyle. Our inclusion criteria, if you will, for this project were kids. We focused on ages 8 through 12 who had either obesity, high blood pressure, high cholesterol or triglycerides, diabetes, ADHD, asthma, or sickle cell disease, all of which are fairly common chronic childhood diseases in this community. Transportation, we wanted to provide transportation from a centrally located spot, and we thought, what better place than our clinic? We know that these families are able to get to our clinic. They're coming from all over the city, but that's one thing they have in common, so that's where we meet, and then a bus takes us from our clinic site out to out to the parks where the activities were. And then our goals were also to retain participants, and as Nigel referred to, we, by the third trip, we had a 100% kind of everyone had been on a previous trip, so that we actually did quite well with that. Finally, we're trying to obtain some preliminary data, and we're still working on that. We've had some hang-ups working with our institutional IRB, and we're kind of scaling back the scope of what we're trying to accomplish, with still our goal of getting some data to show that we did make an impact on these children's lives. So to speak about the patient population a little bit, they all came from kind of central New Orleans. If you're familiar with this area, our clinic's patient population tends to stretch from central city area down to the lower Ninth Ward and New Orleans East, which is by definition all areas that would be called inner city. Many of our families and lack reliable transportation. They're able to often get to clinic by either walking. Some rely on the bus system, and some rely on Medicaid transportation. And unfortunately, many of our patients lack reliable access to telephones. They may have kind of pay-as-you-go telephones that the numbers change frequently as they run out of funds and lose their telephone number, and that's a constant problem we face both in our clinical practice and in trying to recruit participants, as some of our listed phone numbers were no longer active. The challenges we faced were manyfold, many stemming from the fact that we're, you know, as Matt alluded to, in residency, very busy, and we're kind of heading this project with limited time resources. There was a problem with no-shows, especially initially, that improved as we kind of created a system where no-shows would be bumped to the bottom of the list for as invitees for the next trip, in order to try to make sure that we're filling up the bus. And then sustainability is going to be an ongoing challenge moving forward. As our bio alluded to, Matt and I are both finishing residency at the end of this academic year, and hoping to in some way pass the torch on to someone else who can at least take charge of this from a residency program standpoint. Our successes, I think, were probably greater than our challenges. First of all, going on these trips, it was really rewarding to look around and see the smiles on the faces of the kids and the parents of the kids who were participating. Retention was pretty high, especially our way of allotting bus seats, where we kind of had this, and it was an informal but fairly consistent system of prioritizing those who came on a previous trip. So if you came on one trip the week before, you were the first ones to get called to get invited to the next one. I remember especially one trip, I think it was that second trip where at the end of it, I was recruiting participants for the following week, and I asked who wants to reserve a spot for our next trip. We can reserve it right now, and every hand on the bus shot up. It was how much everyone enjoyed the trips, so it was really great. And then we created a successful partnership with the National Park Service and our residency program, which is a partnership of Tulane and Ochsner Pediatrics. And then we created a framework to grow from. So the future, there's hopefully a lot of opportunities in the future. So first of all, number crunching wise, we would like to we're planning now on doing a telephone survey of participants to ask them various questions about, you know, whether this has increased their use of local parks and so on, and other health-related questions, because we know that having data is key to future grants. And then we would like to continue to expand our project to involve other residents, possibly the LSU residency program, certainly Tulane and Ochsner faculty and their patients. So there's always financial restrictions and limitations. So we hope to build from this to utilize more existing programs, especially through the National Park Service, that we can refer our patients to without the need to create our own de novo programming. We'd like to do both, of course, but you know, there's a lot of programs in place that they can benefit from. We'd also like to expand. Matt and I are both MedPeds residents, meaning we also take care of adults, so we'd like to expand this to adult populations at risk, especially because, as Dr. Younger mentioned in that James Baldwin quote about kids imitating their parents or adults, that we know that's very much true, and if we can get parents active, we can get their kids active. And then cultural embeddedness, it's kind of a term I made up, the idea is, you know, really our goal of trying to make the outdoors and nature a part of the local